710 AM and 105.7 FM, The Word, welcome you to Pastor with our host, Pastor Lance Hahn of Bridgeway Christian Church, as he talks heart-to-heart with pastors and ministry leaders. Learn what God is doing in our churches and communities, testimonies, areas of challenge, opportunity, transformation, and the exciting hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Lance with today's guest.
Welcome, my friends, to the show. I got to tell you that this is going to feel so kind of random, out of the pocket, and what I call those tend to be divine appointments, that who I'm going to be talking to, the subject we're going to be talking about, is going to slide into your life, and it's going to spark something in your heart. How do I know that? Because I know that the Holy Spirit is so good at what he does. He orchestrates all of this, whether or not you turned on the radio station while you're driving in your car, maybe you were just listening to it at home, and all of a sudden we popped on. I know that because my guest loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and so do I. I know that whatever we're about to say is going to somehow move your spirit. I am here with Dr. Dan DeShong. He is a global director of Capital Ministries. Dr. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man, so good to have you. Now, you are involved in a ministry that I assume you're not brand new at. Have you done this before?
Yes, since 2015.
Since 2015. All right. Now, in this ministry, there is a very specific mission, right? I mean, there's something that you as a team, right, Capital Ministries, wants to accomplish, and you believe that that is something that actually was started by the Lord, something that's biblical, right? Can you share a little bit of kind of the mission or what you're trying to accomplish through Capital Ministries?
Certainly. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in the political arena throughout the world. It started in 1996. Our founder, Ralph Drollinger, was in Athletes for Action, and they wanted an outpost for Christ like they have in college campuses throughout the political arena through the world. We have the missional mandate, particularly in Acts 9:15, when the Lord was telling Ananias, about Paul, go this chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the sons of Israel. And Paul passed that on to Timothy, to all in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Well, we're not leading a tranquil and quiet life anymore, and we've got to try to save our country through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, we can sit here and talk all day long about political solutions of this or that, but I think we're going to boil it down to what you just said, Dr. Dan, and that is Jesus is going to be our solution. He is our solution, and we have to find a way to involve him more. And so what that means, I think for all of our listeners trying to understand, they're going, well, how does this involve me and everything? Just look at it very practically. Is the nation currently being run by people in love with Jesus at every level? If the answer to that is no, then we have work to do. Right. And it seems like, I think you and I were talking just off air, and you were sharing something about the fact that, you know, I think that we want to go about our lives and hope everything just kind of works out, right? It's kind of like, well, everything should be Christian. Everything should work out for me. And then you realize, wow, it doesn't. This ministry is a strategic response to saying, how do we love on and influence our leadership so they can be full of Jesus, and then that would pour out through the public process. Is that correct?
Correct. We have, if you think about how people approach the politicians, and I designate politicians as the one at the top, the cabinet and the congressional people. I differentiate between them and elected officials on the state level and where I come in with the local level or public servants. Mm. And when people approach their elected leaders, they're either begging, demanding, or threatening.
Right.
We come alongside of them and ask them, how can we pray for you?
Come on.
How can we get to know you? How can we build a relationship? How can we gain your trust and then share the gospel? It is an amazing thing for Christians and non-Christian elected officials alike when they find somebody that cares about them,
yes,
cares about their heart, wants them to reach salvation on their own, caught versus taught, and then you share the curriculum that we have that I've led our city leaders in our city through for a year and a half called Oaks in Office. And it absolutely is mind-blowing what the Bible says about all of our social ills. Immigration, racism, debt, city limits, church and state. It's amazing for them to sit down in a quiet, safe atmosphere and let the Lord speak through this written word.
I think that sometimes when we're sitting at home and we see somebody on TV, whether that's an entertainer or a singer, a actress, actor, same thing with our politicians, we seem to forget their people. It's almost like they are something to be a commodity, something that we're taking from, or you're supposed to do things for me, almost like a vending machine. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget they have families. They have dreams and hopes. They have fears. They have concerns. And so we will be very critical of them, not recognizing that they are hearing that as a human being and trying to process, oh my goodness, why am I always not liked? That matters to human beings. Yeah. And I think that when you finally have someone that can come in a bit more of a gentle way to say, I'm actually here for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that as you're transformed, we will be blessed. But I am actually here for you. When I hear that tone, I'm not a big fan of how certain things are handled politically within the church right now. I'll just be honest about that. When I hear a ministry saying, I'm going to come in and make my leaders better as I pour into them the love of Jesus Christ, as I train them into the Word of God, mm-hmm. that's something that makes my heart swell, right? That's something I get excited about, mm-hmm. right? And so talk to me a little bit about there's kind of a problem going on today that we're trying to address, right? So you would say our political leaders desperately need the Word of God personally and professionally. Right? I mean, that's something that you believe in. Now, I'm a big fan of the Word of God. I love the Bible. But tell me a little bit about why it's so important for someone to hold an office and be rich with the Word of God. What difference would that make?
Well, if you don't know the author of life, it's very hard for you to develop laws and policies for the public. But when we come in and we show them the curriculum, the Oaks in Office Bible study about the separation of church and state, and by the way, we're supposed to be separated institutionally, but not influentially. And when you show them, like for instance, there's five institutions that God designed: the institution of marriage, family, commerce, church, and state. I constantly in my Bible study tell my men and women, when something will come up that's on their plate, I say, well, look, that's not your job. That's the church's job. Or that's not your job. That's the commerce's job. So if we could just stay in our own lane, and they are so appreciative of what the scriptures say, whether they're Christian or not, they know what they're doing in some respects across the board isn't working. And when you show them what God says about all these tremendous social ills that we're having, it's a tremendous help for them in their daily life, not only their personal life, but as they go through their leadership. And we spend a lot of time on how to lead.
You know, I don't know how many public officials are listening to this program, so maybe I'm just talking out into the air here. But I guess I would say that whether they are currently lovers of Christ or not, they have a job that is not normal. They have a job where they are needing to draw from wisdom that is beyond human capability. They're trying to make decisions for large groups of people they will never meet. They're having to deal with complicated issues happening around the world that are so complex that we now see the same demand that Solomon had when he comes before the Lord, and the Lord's like, all right, kiddo, I'm going to put you in a very, very important situation. What do you need? And he's like, I got to tell you right now, it's not about the fame. It's not about the fortune. It's not about any of that stuff. Quite frankly, I'm scared out of my mind because I'm in over my head. Yeah. What I need, God, is I need your wisdom flowing through. The way that I describe it is that knowledge is knowing facts and information. Wisdom is knowing how to connect the dots of facts and information. Godly wisdom is to see the hand of God through the connection of the dots. What we need our leaders to have is the godly wisdom to be able to see the bigger picture weaving throughout the information that they're receiving. And we're not going to have that without the presence of God in our lives or the Word of God in our hearts. Amen?
That's it.
Man, come on. Okay, so I want to hear a little bit about kind of some connection pieces, because some people may not be able to hear our full entire show. They're like, man, I got to get out of the car right now. I want to know. Okay, how can they get involved or get more information about this ministry?
Well, our website, capmen.org, is loaded with information, not only locally, state, federal, and international, but it's got a section in there under the local government candidates that want to become involved, to where you answer 5 questions and you can self-vet yourself of whether this is a good ministry for you. It's also a situation to where you could eliminate yourself really quick. This may not be a good one for me, because it does take a very special person that's a Bible evangelist, that's got history and experience in teaching the Word of God, to be able to walk across the street into City Hall and say, hey, where are all the Christians in here? That's not a thing that a lot of the churches think that go and make disciples really means come into my sanctuary. It's not what we're about. And we're not an activist group. We really are a going and making. And so making these disciples, we have a 5-question thing that they can answer. Do you feel led at all by doing this? Is this something that the Lord wants you to do? And then you have to abide by our statement of faith. If it doesn't line up with yours or your church, then this may not be a good fit. We're looking for people with entrepreneurial skills that have the ability to be self-starters, that can follow through, that can handle disappointments, and then commit to our curriculum. We've got a 72 Bible study curriculum that handles any and everything written specifically for elected officials. It's absolutely wonderful. And then the last one is the time, the commitment, and the resources. And we'll train you. We have a training manual. We have Zoom calls every week. We have a training conference coming up in January at the seminary in Southern California. We'll scholarship you too. So there's plenty of ways you can contact me through capmen.org, and we'll start the vetting and credentialing procedure to get you on board.
Yeah, you've been listening to Dr. Dan DeShong, who is the Global Director of Capital Ministries. And once again, he keeps referring to their website, which is going to have pretty much everything that you're going to look for. And he referred to it as capmin.org. That's CAPMIN.org. Capmin, as in Capital Ministries, .org. You can always find out more information there. Okay, now I want to talk about a couple other pieces here. One of them you mentioned earlier, and that is the idea of the separation of church and state has been something that has been talked about for a really, really long time. And I do believe that it is quite misunderstood. And when we talk about the separation, it's not that one should not influence the other. It's that when we're talking about policies, that's a little bit different. So, for example, one of the ways that you kind of refer to it is there's a difference between influence and policy making. So can you share a little bit, like, for example, one of the Bible studies that you have is understanding the separation of church and state. That's something that you've walked through quite a bit. But just the heart of what you really would want people to know on a very basic level, what should we probably pay attention to when we're thinking about separation of church and state?
Well, I believe the first and most important thing is, what does Scripture say about it?
Amen. Come on.
And so we are very, very intentional in our division of the divisions that God created, the institutions, as I mentioned earlier. They each have a very specific job to do. And look where we are in our country right now. The government's deciding what marriage is. It's deciding what parenting is. It's from the hills of culture that are evading, the only two that are left in our country, maybe around the world, are church and state. The others are gone, and we can get them back, but we can only get them back with the Lord. And so we're trying to really emphasize that while they are supposed to be separate institutionally, never, ever, ever influentially. And we just take them through the Bible study from Proverbs to Psalm to Ephesians. Every round the corner is helps them in deciding how they can best design policy for the public.
So good, so good. And you kind of partner with local churches as you're trying to find out who are some of the people that could get involved in this, who could pray for their political officials, who could, you know, I think you can't go through the Bible without hearing it over and over again. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those in authority. It says it over and over and over. So whether or not you're involved specifically in the, I don't know, hands-on piece of the ministry, you can intercede and intercede and intercede, right? And you intercede for people you agree with, and you intercede for people you do not agree with. Once again, I was looking through some of your material, and I think that there was a quote by Ben Carson on there, and it was, I think it was on the website. I'm not quite sure where I was looking. And he was even highlighting out and saying, just because you disagree with someone does not mean that that creates enmity immediately. Right. And what's so beautiful about that is you can say, as a Christian mind, you can say, you know what? I don't agree with this person at all. I think that they're loony. I think that there is so much wrong with what they're... Okay, well, hold on a second. If you truly believe that and you're on God's team, not on your own agenda, but if you really want what God wants, then wouldn't prayer intercession to allow them to be fully covered by the Lord, wouldn't that not help the situation, right? I mean, because otherwise we're just complaining and saying, you're broken. Well, yep, they sure are. Now, what's your solution? It better be Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you're not helping that out, what are you doing? You're making the situation worse.
When you have a debate or an situation that comes up that that you disagree with, or that maybe is even anti-scriptural, it's real easy to back off. I remember when I first became a Christian, I asked my pastor, I said, do you mean to tell me that I have to like all these people? And he goes, no, you don't, but you do have to love them. And so when you can sit there and say, let's see, what does scripture say about this subject? And where I get into a lot of trouble is they want to draw me into policy.
Yes.
And they want to draw me into making laws and this and that and the other. And we are not an activist group.
Nope.
We're just trying to bring the gospel, change the hearts, and let them run our country through the lens of scripture.
Come on.
That's as far as we need to go. The rest, when they have a lot of trouble with these Bible studies they don't have trouble with us, with them in Capital Ministries. They have a trouble with them in the Lord. And when you could touch on that and confront them, and they love to be confronted. These politicians have an ego that is beautiful to watch crumble.
I love that. One of the things that you do is on Tuesdays you'll have a Bible study, right? Just at a restaurant, just saying, hey, we're here to pour into you, pour into you, pour into you. Now, of course, not everybody can attend that. Not everybody needs to attend that, right, that is in public office. But when you do those Bible studies, I would guess from your tone and your delivery, it's a little bit more informal and relational, even though you're going through formal material. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Kind of relational connections.
Very much
what
so.
Can we do for you? How can we bless you? What questions do you have? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that I've shared a lot is throughout kind of my ministry time is that a lot of politics is about running the business of America. And I will be less in that conversation than talking about, because whether or not we want this tax structure versus this tax structure versus this one, you know, there are ways to run a business, right? Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different opinions on how to run a business. What I would like to do, and I think that you're in the same mindset, is I'd like to go to a bit of a deeper level than what is our policy of running a business. And I want to talk about the heart of where we're making decisions from, mm-hmm. right? Because that will inform. I think one of the most troubling things for people to recognize is the scripture verse that says there's no authority that's been put in there that wasn't put in there by God, because that's really troubling for most people.
Oh, yeah.
Because you assume that if God put them in there, they're the perfect person. Well, that's incorrect.
That's right.
He only has broken people to work with. And not only that, sometimes he gives the land the leaders they deserve.
Oh, you want a king? I'll give you a
king. Oh, wow. Okay, now we're getting scriptural, right? So now we're in my wheelhouse. And so I just want to, you know, I just want to say that a lot of times people go, I don't understand why this person's in power. And you go, well, hold on. God was watching over that process, and it might be to teach us a lesson of something. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. We can do that. But it helps keep us humble a little bit without us thinking we're God making comments on everybody else of what should and should not be. So talk to me. God obviously has some things on your heart. What are some things that God's been talking to you about as far as this ministry?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and I alluded to it in a prayer earlier, is how many people we have in our churches that are lovers of the Lord. They're trained up. They're good Bible teachers. They have wisdom. They have years. They have training, and they don't have a purpose in life. And they don't have a vehicle to share the Lord with. And so we want to come along, especially the entrepreneurs that have time and energy and resources, and give them a purpose to share the Lord, to go across the street into City Hall, take these people they voted for, take them to lunch and get to build the relationship, gain the trust, and share the gospel.
I feel like many times we think that those folks are untouchable. And what this does is create the vehicle that you were speaking of, saying, listen, if I trust you and I feel like you're a good fit for the ministry, I can get you in contact with the right people if you will love them rightly. And I think that that can allow somebody to say, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm not exactly, I don't have an agenda. I don't have a political mindset. What I do is I know the Word of God and I care deeply about people. And I love to disciple. What you're telling us is we might be able to get involved in this ministry and you would say, listen, I'll give you the vehicle. I need you to do what you're great at doing.
Yep.
We'll steer you in the right direction. We'll make the right connections.
We're not going to take a person that has a very strong gift of administration and ask them to be a teacher.
That's right.
And so if we use the gifts through our vetting and our credentialing process, the ones that shine and that jump to the top, it's pretty obvious to them. It's pretty obvious to us.
Yeah.
And they appreciate when we tell them this may not be a good fit for you.
I think that's critical because if it is not a good fit, then there's a lot of angst.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and then you get into something and it's unnecessarily difficult.
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's all about gifting.
That's right. It should be. In our churches, which it isn't always, but in any ministry, parachurch ministry as well, it's what's the best fit for the kingdom of God. That's for sure.
Well, it's almost like God had a plan.
Wow.
It's almost like he sprinkled salt and light all over the world.
What a concept.
And I know that this is not just, once again, we're wrapping up the program, but I know this is not just an American-based ministry. As a matter of fact, it's actually almost larger on the international scene than it is here in America. And I think that sometimes one of your messages that you're having to pour out there is, hey, guys, we need to take this seriously here too, because actually this has had such fruit in so many other nations across the world. Yeah?
Yeah, I think we're growing faster in other countries. That might surprise you, whether it's Africa, China, even Europe is really coming back up.
Wow.
But what we have here is, and we go after the lowest hanging fruit. We want to gain traction. We want to share the gospel with any and everybody. But our international ministries are really growing, and the only thing we can figure is that people in this country are so spoiled and have such affluence, they don't need the Lord like we do overseas when they have nothing but the Lord, and that's where their growth comes from. When they've lost everything, and all they have is Christ, and that's enough. That's plenty.
Desperation is a powerful faith motivator. You've been listening to Dr. Dan DeShong, the Global Director of Capital Ministries. We are so happy that you've been with us today. Once again, pray for your elected officials and be salt and light everywhere you are. If you want to know more information, go to capmin.org.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor to Pastor with our host, Pastor Lance Hahn of Bridgeway Christian Church. If you'd like more information about today's guest, go to thewordsacramento.com under the Programs tab to learn more about our Church of the Week, or call us at 916-924-0710. We appreciate all area pastors and leaders for their selfless commitment to God and our region. Join us next week for another glimpse into God's wonderful and expansive church on Pastor to Pastor.